Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast. Another year, another win over Louisville. We're fired up to talk about it all. And we're fired up to be here thanks to our friends at Justice Dental. Best dentistry in Central KY. They've got two convenient locations on either side of town of Lexington. One on Blazer Parkway, another one on Wellington Way. You can call them at 859-543-0700 if you want to chit-chat with somebody. Or you could just visit them online, justicedental.com. Book your cleaning appointment today. Figure out your dental needs for the future. You got something coming up around the corner. Dr. Dobson and Dr. Justice will take care of you. Your one-stop shop for all your dental needs, bringing you the KSR Football Podcast and bringing you lots of takes because we're going to have plenty of them tonight. It's we're in the transition. It's from season to off-season. The off-season actually might be crazier than the in-season, but before we get into the off-season, we've got to enjoy the win over Louisville, and I don't know if anybody's enjoying that win more than Mr. L's down, Drew Franklin.
Oh, it's been a great 48 hours. I don't even need Justice Dental to work on this smile because I haven't stopped smiling since Saturday night when the Cats got it done. Never a doubt. Hope we all cashed in on that -3. I bought a garage refrigerator with my winnings, so it was a big Sunday for me. But we beat Louisville. It's like it's our holiday. We're still living the celebration up.
Well, and it's an annual holiday too now because, like it, I know I wasn't married the last time the Governor's Cup was in Louisville. I don't think I was a homeowner yet. Probably still living in my parents' basement. It's been so long, it's hard to remember what I was even doing the last time Louisville won a Governor's Cup.
Yeah, it's been a long time now. Last time they won, Malik Cunningham was a true freshman. He just played his last regular season game, or his last game against Kentucky. So they've gone through a full cycle here of players. Scott Satterfield's going to be in year five next season, and he has not beaten Kentucky. So, Nick, you talk about all the time, this the pendulum swings, and it swings in big ways in this rivalry. And right now, Kentucky's on a good little streak here.
Yeah, yeah. Aside from Lamar's revenge, it's been all Cats, everything. Now 7 years. It just feels good. And, Freddie, I know you didn't have this rivalry when you were at Kentucky. But the way that it sets up can really make your offseason feel good, beating an in-state foe to end the year. Just to put a nice little bow on things to end the season.
Yeah, I think 7 wins is easier pill to swallow than 6. So Kentucky had to win that game, I think the line of scrimmage was a big, big key. Turnovers, obviously, we're going to talk about that, but that Kentucky defense just continues to play at a top 10 level in the country and, you know, without a surefire first rounder. So I just credit Brad White, and I hope that they padlock the outside of his door at the office and don't let him out the building. So, he'll go over to 309 yards. Neither quarterback could find a rhythm. The running back hurt him some, and especially I know, Nick, you were enjoying the outside zones that were averaging, 6.5 yards a pop there for a second. But, yeah, big win for the program, and the offseason, I agree, is going to be crazier than the season, and that's saying a lot because this season was just I'm glad it's over.
We can feel your stress, Freddie, especially on the pregame shows this year. It was palpable. But I did think you made a good point too. Like, I know some people would just be like, "Oh, but Brad White, he let Tennessee score a lot on him. Vandy beat him." It's like there definitely is not going to be one first team all SEC selection on this defense. There might not even be one on the second team. I don't know who you would put on there. There's not any one star, but as a collective, they've been outstanding, and to the point where it actually I got a little upset today. I shouldn't have been this upset, Lucky, but I looked at the SP Plus numbers. The defense was 9th. The offense was 92nd.
Stinks. Stunk. I mean, it's over, but it was a frustrating year. Felt like you left a lot of meat on the bone, right? Because you had such a good defense this season.
Well, and it was some of the same on Saturday where you struggled in the red zone, right?
It was – the game was like – all right, a lot of the issues were fixed, like kicking game.
Yeah, right? Got that together.
You fixed that. Turnovers, creating takeaways was kind of an issue again, but, you know, you create three takeaways in the game, but the offensive issues were the same. Yep. Finish drives in the red zone. Four red zone opportunities. You get, you know, only you only get scored two touchdowns. You were 2-3 on goal to goal. You had a goal to goal opportunity and you didn't score a touchdown. You had a touchdown taken away because of an illegal formation. I would assume, you know, the tight end wasn't lined up on the line like he should have been. I mean, it was 12 games, yep. 36 quarters. 12 times 4 is 36, right? No, 48 quarters. And some of the issues never got fixed. And I think that's the most frustrating part, I think, about the whole offense. Like, they obviously had their weaknesses and limitations, but there were situations where they just could never figure out what was working well for or how they could finish drives. And that was an issue all season. It was an issue against Louisville. Luckily, some big takeaways set up some easy scoring opportunities. And they got a lead early, which was huge, what Freddie talked about, that hot start, and that really kind of set the tone of the game.
Yeah, and J.J. Weaver would have had an all-time Governor's Cup play if his feet didn't get in his way. I mean, Drew, that was an awesome strip, an awesome scoop, and then he stumbles on the six. But it felt like there, if J.J. scores, it's 17-0, Kentucky wins 40-0, right? But instead, they mess around, and then they got to kick a field goal from the six-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, that place would have really erupted had he crossed the goal line. Like you said, it would have been a touchdown rather than what they ended up with, and we're looking more like scores last year. Also, just him being a Louisville guy, I don't remember how much he really considered Louisville out of high school. I know they didn't recruit Louisville much when Petrino was there, but I know there's some extra beef being from the city, so that would have been a nice stamp on his senior day to get that through, but still a big play and lots of big plays, as we mentioned, the turnovers, and it felt like there could have been 8 interceptions. I remember so many that were dropped that I thought could have been picked. So it could have been a lot uglier for Louisville's offense too in the turnover column.
Yeah. Carrington Valentine had a couple that were just right there. I mean, just, you mentioned his recruitment though. I'm pretty sure that was Scott Satterfield. He was trying to do his first, like, big move as head coach was to try to get J.J. Weaver to stay. Is that right, Luckett? And
yeah, J.J. would have been class of 2019, so he signed like right when Satterfield was hired, like a couple weeks. So I'm sure they probably made a move for him there at the end.
Because
J.J. Weaver,
Vince
Tyree actually recruited J.J. from what I understand.
But one of my favorite recruiting stories, Nick, was J.J. Weaver wanted to have his signing ceremony at the Jefferson Mall. Which is, if you're from Louisville, you get that. Why that is funny, of all places.
He also wanted to wait till February to do it with his teammates, and Vince was like, no.
I think that was the first December class, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I saw a Louisville basketball player buying Nikes at J-Town Mall right after he graduated, and I asked, and he was like, couldn't wait to get out of Adidas's. fun Jefferson Town Mall memories.
Oh, old J-Mall, which I saw somebody tweet recently, like, if you're having a bad day and don't think you can make it, J-Mall's still around, so you know you can make it too. That place, what a gem, what a gem. We got sidetracked there for a moment, but big day for Kentucky seniors. Senior day, it's always a special moment, and Freddie, I'm sure you can attest to this a little bit more, but it felt like this senior day, even though Kentucky's freshmen made the big plays offensively, the seniors still had their time to shine, offense, defense, and before the game.
Yeah, I think so. I especially enjoyed the Chris Oates portion of the ceremony. And then Drew and I are big DeAndre Square fans and Kenneth Horsey. But in today's college football, who's a senior? I mean, that is a loose term. Because you got COVID year, you got all kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, it was a wonderful moment. And I think the highlight on the field for me was Kentucky had two linebackers, enter the 300 tackle club. That's a special club. And DeAndre Square and Jaquez Jones both registered their 300 tackle. And that was good to see. But also some young folks. DeAndre Buford, SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week, or co-rather. And Walker. Then Dink – I mean, yeah. And then Dinkins, yes. Yeah, Dinkins is really coming on the last two games, so that was good to see. But, you know, I can see why Vince and Mark are so excited about the youth of this program because, eight or nine of the 11 completions that Will Levis had went to freshmen. And I saw somebody tweet that 66% of all touchdown passes have been caught by freshmen, either redshirt or true. So, yes, to say goodbye to some really, really good seniors, Will Levis being one, Chris Rodriguez. But the future, I think, is bright. But you got to be very strategic with the portal here and get a tackle or two and a quarterback. And those are the – and a long snapper. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And right. Those are some big acquisitions that they're facing.
The Square got his 300th tackle on a third down stop, and Jacquez got his on that fourth down stop, which that was a huge turnover on downs because Louisville responded pretty quickly to a Kentucky score, and they moved the chains until a replay overturned it, and then Jacquez came up big. I mean, he hadn't played in months, right? Like, a lot of those guys hadn't played in a long time. So to come in and step up and make big plays, that was huge. Absolutely love to see it.
I really like their photo, the linebackers on the field after the game. Did you all see that?
That was pretty cool.
Kind of just showed how loaded that group's been the last 2 years where you've got those four guys.
To Freddie's point, though, Luckett, we don't know who's seniors, and feels like there's a lot of whispers like, did Chris Rodriguez play in his last game at Kroger Field?
I think him taking that Senior Bowl invitation is kind of the smoking gun there. I heard Jim Nagy on a podcast say they send out these invitations, but a lot of times the coaches will hold them until they figure out for sure before they take, you know, send out the picture of them accepting the invite. Chris accepting the invite, I think, is a sign that he's probably gone. But yeah, I mean, there's still a chance, I would say, that he's there. But yeah, there's going to be seniors here on Kentucky's team that move on and maybe play somewhere else next year. I think that's like Kavase Smoke. I think that could be a possibility. And there might be a couple others too. So that's always something to look out for as well.
I just got thrown off when I was trying to fish for a Jatan McLean quote from Mark Stoops. He was like, well, we might not have seen the last of Chris. And I'm like, well, he didn't say exactly that, but it was enough for me to kind of look at Drew and like, what's he talking about? Just 230 yards though. Down to 230. That's all he needs. So what's the worst possible rush defense Kentucky could face in a bowl game? Let's get them. Let's get, the Oklahomas or, you know, one of those Big 12 teams and just run it up on them.
It's going to be hard to run for 230, but also entertain your wide receivers because I think that's going to be a part of the bowl game too.
Yeah, and it's also important bowl games get weird, wonky. Things that haven't happened all year typically happen. So get ready for 60-yard field goals, Kentucky blocking punts, things of that nature because things do get weird in bowl games. So, yeah, they're hard to even predict and what's going to happen. We don't even know who's going to be on the roster. Like last year, Kentucky had a lot of guys in the portal that played, right? KD McDaniel, I think Isaiah Gibson, and there was a few others that played in that bowl game. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. So there's just a lot of stuff here to parse through.
Put me down for the under on 60-yard field goals. I would like it on that.
Stoops did.
They're calling Matt Ruffalo Justin Tucker here in town. Drew and Freddie. Louisville fans are calling. They're saying that guy never missed a field goal.
Stoops did allude to guys not doing the portal thing and playing in the bowl game again. He kind of said on his call-in show, like, we could do that last year. Don't know about this year. It also makes you wonder, what are the numbers going to be like just for that bowl game? But you know what? We can figure that out at a different time. I did want to just give a shout-out real quick to one of my favorite Louisville Cardinals that's ever played, Malik Cunningham. Like, let's give it up for him one more time. I mean, when in doubt, just blitz him and watch him throw into triple coverage. Like, that was beautiful. I loved every single second of it. I don't really understand the rationale that Louisville did, Freddie, because as you mentioned earlier, like, they were running the ball well, but I guess Scott was like, you know what? Screw the patience. Let's just let Malik let it rip.
Yeah, 145, and that's with UK with four quarterback sacks and six tackles for loss. So that goes against trend as well, because Kentucky has not been very good defensively as far as tackles for loss and quarterback sacks. But, yeah, I mean, Louisville was absolutely gashing Kentucky at times on that outside zone and went away from it. That really happened. You know, Malik comes in, the game changes. But, Nick, I know you're going to miss him, and I'm surprised you're not wearing a jersey right now.
Is Nick muted? I think Nick's muted. Where'd he go?
I think he got hacked.
All right, well, I'll take over for Nick. What were we talking about?
Malik Cunningham.
Beautiful 0-4. He did come in and run the ball. That looked all right. Then right back to the bench. Clearly that hand, he was going to be fumbling if he did too much.
Also, third game in a row, Drew, he is left with an injury against Kentucky. Got hit by Jamin Davis in 2019, left the game. 2021, I believe he got hit in the third quarter, left the game. And this year, hurt his shoulder trying to tackle Trevin Wallace. So he's left the game three times against Kentucky as well.
Trying to tackle Trevin Wallace is just a bad idea. Not a good business decision.
I know we already mentioned Square, but, you know, Cunningham being 0-4, how awesome to be 4-0 in the rivalry for that class. I mean, mm-hmm. I know the rivalry goes in streaks, but I doubt there's been too many classes come through to go undefeated against Louisville.
Four blowouts. So,
yeah, I mean, not even close. I mean, just having complete control of your enemy, those guys, what a career for them.
And 2-2 against Florida, right, in the last 4 years. Like, that's pretty
undefeated in bowl games.
3-2 against Florida.
Oh, if you went 5 years, yeah. Yeah.
Two Citrus Bowls. I mean, what a resume for the seniors.
Yeah, yeah. A great crew. Here's a question. Is anybody here trying to imagine a world where Will Levis has not played in his last game as a Wildcat?
Did you all hear Mark Stoops talking about it? He did everything, but he was dancing around it. But he just kept saying, you know, but if he doesn't, he's just so tough, and he's already given so much. I'm not saying he won't, but I'm just saying he's already done so much. I mean, he was saying it without saying it.
You know, I read something today where there's only been two first-round quarterbacks drafted that did not play in a bowl game. Now, most of the good quarterbacks play on good teams and play meaningful bowls, but that's just something to throw out there. Either way, I'm fine with Will. I mean, you know, he's done some really good things at Kentucky. I think everybody would get behind his decision either way.
And if there's interim coordinator for the bowl game, interim coaches already, you know, they're already kind of turning the page to the next year, right? So I wouldn't have a big deal with him opting out. Bowl games are glorified exhibition games. This one specifically, more than others, when I've kind of – not all bowl games are created equal. This bowl game is not going to be the Citrus Bowls. It's just not – it's not on that level. It's not going to be this big jumping off point for the program. It's just the last game of the season and then moving on to next year. And so I would have no issues with him opting out, and I completely understand it from his – perspective. Get healthy, and you know the Senior Bowl is going to be big for him, so get healthy and get ready for that week down there in Mobile.
I've seen people, you know, talking about guys in the past that have played. Benny Snell playing does not compare to Will Levis playing. There's a significant difference in millions and what's at stake. Josh Allen,
the only guy.
Josh Allen's comparable, which was crazy that he even played, but I don't think anyone should expect it just because other guys that were third, fourth rounders. Will's looking at a different spot than any of them outside of Josh.
A different position, too. I mean, quarterbacks are just different.
Freddie, I got to stop you for a second. Did I see you drinking out of a Perrier bottle?
No. This is generic Italian sparkling mineral water.
Oh, I'm doing mineral water, too.
Carbonation added from the Kroger's.
But is it water or is it fancy water? You don't strike me as a fancy water kind of guy.
Well, I mean, I drink the carbonated Kroger water, and that just comes in more of a jug. So This is just a fancier container.
The fancy Italian one.
Yeah, but I do like fancy water, and that's actually what I call it. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I really needed to get sidetracked there because I just could not stop looking at that green bottle wondering what in the world was inside. Hopefully our listeners are watching only on YouTube. And Bill has brought up a great point on the YouTube chat that it got a little dusty during the Chris Oates Senior Day announcement. It got a little dusty. It also was a little odd because everybody was having a moment, and then we just had Carl Nathy yell, "Kavasi, eh? Smoke!"
What happened there? He didn't even get time to get an ovation. It was like, Chris Oates, all right, Smoke, get out there.
And Smoke was the last person. What are we doing?
I love Smoke. I'm going to miss him.
But it's almost like they skipped over him, and then they were like, oh, we got to say this guy's name.
Oh, it was really cool to see Oates there. And
Smoke.
Yeah. Smoke. I liked over after the game, like, some of these guys had been there so long that you just kind of forget all the twists and turns, especially Rodriguez, because Rodriguez has been so good for so long. And he was just like, I just remember being in the dorms, like not thinking I was ever going to play. And because he was in the doghouse, remember, he fumbled in his first game, Grant threw him in the doghouse, and he wasn't letting his ass out. And then he got in at the end of that South Carolina game. Cats were losing 24-0. Him and Lynn Bowden come in and go 85 yards down the field. There's the birth of Bowden ball. But he was like, you know, I just be in my dorm room with Chris. Chris was like, dude, you're hard. Don't worry about this. You're hard. You got this. And he just kept chopping away, and he finally got his moment to shine. So, Freddie, as much as I hate Eli Drinkwitz, he kind of made this point the other day. And it's a point that I wonder, just big picture, how it's going to impact the future of the program is in this world of the transfer portal. How many guys like that, like the Chris Rodriguez's, like the Jamin Davis's, are we going to see here in the future at the University of Kentucky?
You're going to see fewer and fewer. I mean, and Jamin and Chris's stories are unique anyway. So, but I don't know if you'll see a player that comes out that magnitude of talent. But you're going to see a lot of players, not just at Kentucky, but all over the first bit, you know, first session of adversity. And there's a lot as a true freshman. When you go to college, one thing, and then you're playing against players that are bigger, stronger, faster than you, that everybody on the team was the best player of their team. It's a lot different. It's challenging. So, you know, that does concern me that, you know, you hit a rough patch and it's easy to go somewhere else and hit another rough patch. So transfer portal, the outgoing players, I'm a little bit concerned, maybe will not find the green pasture that they're looking for and end up in not a ideal situation. But back to your point, Nick, I think it's going to be fewer stories like Jamin Davis, Chris Rodriguez, Eli Cox is another, you know, I mean, so many other players that kind of was in the developmental cycle of the program, then flourished as a junior, senior, et cetera.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's not always just freshman year too, right? It's that sophomore year when you think it's time to play. You don't get in right away. You know, you might get cut. Not cut, but guy beats you out. The team loses some games. And I think where this could – I don't see it happening right away for the line because I think they kind of – it's built in that they know that it's going to take longer for them. But I can see that scenario like it were – you know, a lot of guys, they need 3 years in the trenches before they're ready, and they might not get that time anymore. Well, they might not take that time, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, everything's different, you know. So you've got to – coaches have got to adapt. Adaption's key here. Those who adapt the best are going to win. And so you got to do things differently than you've done them in the past. And so it's trial and error, right? You know, you've got to kind of have to figure out what your secret sauce is and what's going to work best for you at your program. And a lot of that's based on, you know, the type of talent, your talent pool and the type of kids you're getting and all that. But yeah, I mean, early playing time is key. I think this year was a lesson, Nick, for a lot of Kentucky fans. Like, if you've got good players as freshmen, they need to play. Alabama's freshmen are playing. Georgia's freshmen are playing. Clemson's freshmen are playing. Ohio State's freshmen are playing. Like, they're not stashing bodies over there. Best players will play. Like, they're getting on the field right away. And that's on it. That's a good selling point for the future of when you're recruiting. You know, we play our freshmen here. So you come here, you got a chance to play right away. Maybe that's something Kentucky's just got to lean into. Maybe it's not as much, you know, red shirt and stacked bodies as much as they used to. Maybe it's more so that early playing time and get guys on the field, because that's the best way to kind of satisfy some of those appetites, right? You know, people want to play.
Yeah, they certainly do. You mentioned adapting. The ones who have lasting power have to adapt the most. Stoops is now the 10th longest tenured college football coach in America. Now that David Shaw, he stepped down the other day after, I want to say, 12 years. That Stanford ship was already sunk. So, glad they just made it an amicable split. But what you talk about trial and error, too. It's trial and error for us. I thought the portal wasn't opening until December 5th. We got two dudes hopping in it today. So, I'm thrown off by it, but I thought I could get at least a day to get ready, and I was wrong. Chauncey Magwood and DeMarcus Harris entered the portal. Drew, it wasn't a surprise about Harris. I mean, he went through senior day after all. Like, it's like, okay, you put in your time. You gave a lot. Now go do 2 years elsewhere. Magwood was one I thought might have a shot as, you know, a third or fourth option. He had some good reps this year, but both ultimately decided to hop into the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, those were two of the promising young receivers from the last class until you end up with Barron Brown and Dane Key. I mean, I wish they'd stick it out selfishly, because you are going to need more than Brown and Key moving forward. And you just worry about all these people going to the portal and having nowhere to go. And I just hope people aren't making decisions they'll regret ending up at a different level of football just because they didn't want to sit behind two young guys. But I mean, that youth movement has been so big at Kentucky so far. It's not surprising guys are jumping ship and seeking other opportunities. And that's partially what made the rivalry so fun on Saturday, as you're watching Louisville with seniors from the portal get their ass kicked by Kentucky's freshmen. As fans on that side look for just something to hang on to, they're looking at Kentucky's already rebuilt and still dominating the Governor's Cup. So I just, as we've said a million times already in this season, this freshman group has been special, and it's not shocking guys are moving out because they know they can't move up the depth chart.
And it's all – guys can return too. Like, there's going to be a time where a Kentucky player enters the portal and comes back. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Chauncey Magwood or DeMarcus Harris or Chris Lewis whenever he officially enters, but that's always an option, option too. And so – but they just, Nick, the recruiting is really good in the wide receiver room. Yeah. They got two guys committed right now, in Shamar Porter, who I really like, just named the Army All-American game, and Anthony Brown's had a huge senior year at Springfield High there and up in Ohio, that both those guys can play, and they're in on a couple more before that they might be able to get in the class before signing day gets here. So there's, you know, if you got to – there's only so many snaps to go around, you know. They're stacking talented players in that receiver room. So the attrition shouldn't be a surprise. Like, you can't have everybody in there. You can only have, you know, a certain amount of receivers.
You mentioned Adam, I'm sorry. The Adam, they really, really like Anthony Brown.
Yeah.
A lot. So just putting that out there. They like that kid a whole lot.
And he's the one with the John Legend connection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't lose him. Got to keep John Legend around.
He had a big night Friday, and he ended the Caddis' little brother's season in the Division I, which is the equivalent of Class 6A in Kentucky.
Yeah,
Division I state semifinals, their biggest classification, beat Cincinnati Moeller to go back to the state championship game. I believe they lost in it last year. But Josh Caddis.
They say his brother's better. There's no way. There's no way. That guy is King Caddis. Crown him.
Yeah, he Jose said, how great was Caddis? Not only a freshman, but he can be a key contributor for years to come. And Bill says that he seems a little undersized, but he's nasty for being undersized. And, I mean, I don't know how many dudes I've ever seen throw a stiff arm like that 70 yards downfield. That was gnarly.
Dr. Mike got a great picture of that. That might be going in the Luckett basement. Just a straight punch to Josh Minkins, a Louisville kid. Dude's awesome. I mean, he's just mowing. He's mowing dudes down in the run game. He's making plays in the passing game. He's just awesome. He's going to be an awesome player here. Already is making big time plays. So just, I mean, like that whole freshman class in general, man. It's just, it's so exciting, right? I mean, like Deion Walker, they could not do anything with it. Louisville could not do anything with him in that game. It was just like, it was like, good Lord, they really cannot block this guy. And they've got an offensive line full of super seniors and guys that have played a lot of football, and it's a solid offensive line, and they just had no answers for them. Then you got a guy like Jordan Lovett, redshirt freshman, making plays. Jordan Dingle's flash as a redshirt freshman. Trevin Wallace is a true sophomore. There's just a lot to get excited about with this defense, with the whole those two classes in general, that 21 and 22 classes. A lot of good players in that group.
We might have our own Kentucky version of the Kelsey family, though, because Caddis is an absolute hoss. His brother, Vince, offered him when he was an eighth grader, and his brother looks like he could play now. He's an offensive tackle. And I think there's another Caddis that's a linebacker. I don't know if he's going to be a, you know, power five guy or not, but you know what? Let's just come on now. Come on down, Caddises. We got a home for you here.
If they're like Josh, I mean, he's that old school brand of football. I mean, he's violent. And you noticed, you know, sometimes guys would end up on the other sideline and get shoved around a little bit. When Caddis fell down on the Louisville sideline, they were helping him up. They wanted none of the smoke from him over there. He was all alone, and they were helping him and patting him on the back to get back across the
side. After he got tackled, Tyrese Fearby was ready to mix it up with Louisville players on the sideline. And, of course, like, the first scuffle was, I think, involved Barry and Brown, because of course it did. And then, like, as soon as a Louisville player got on that other sideline, it was on. They were ready to go, and I think that's kind of been Nick, a big mental edge for this rivalry. I think just Kentucky, like, this is the game, and they want to embarrass Louisville. They want to just embarrass them. And mentally, I think you could just tell there's an edge that Kentucky has over Louisville right now in this series, and it's just evident. I mean, the L's down, like, their fan base absolutely despises the L's. I mean, despises it. But there's no, like, there is nothing they can do about it. But can, like, Barry and Brown's on the jumbotron doing around the field of punt. Every time, if you watch the TV copy, every time they show fans, I mean, just old people, young people. Just everybody's just throwing L's down and having like kids in a candy shop. Like, it's the coolest thing ever. And, like, man, that really gets under Louisville people's skin. And that's why people, they just keep leaning into it because of that. It's just, it's a lot of fun, I think, being on the Kentucky side in this rivalry right now.
I didn't think I could love Barry on Brown more until Nick tweeted the video of him just – I thought he would break his wrist at the catwalk. He didn't stop. Then, like, Luckett just said, he's back to field a punt, and he sees himself on the big screen and just starts doing it for the crowd.
And the crowd goes nuts.
They love it.
And he's running routes in pregame with just L's down. Like, he's running slants and corner routes with L's down and just running up to midfield and just L's down into Louisville. I mean, it was just –
Did awesome. Any of y'all see the picture of Stoops with the – he was posing with the trophy.
Yes.
And it looks like he's got his hands down on his side, and he's kind of like holding his – wait, here we go. Holding his hand like this, like he's got his L's down too. I want Stoops to be subtly throwing his L's down in pictures too, okay? Like the our Zapruder film, because they really messed up letting us know that it bothered them. And when Scott Satterfield went to midfield and started whining about it, I mean, it was never going to die after that. Like, it was never – there was a time where, like, even I was like, I mean, come on. I'm not – that's too childish. I'm not going to throw my L's down. And now it's like, ooh,
Listen, I've been making fun of them for 13 years. They don't realize how they take the bait every single time. You fire off a tweet and they just come out of the water flopping like fish, wanting to complain. They love saying rent free when they'll spend a whole night tweeting you because you tweet one thing about Louisville.
The obsession.
They don't understand. We'd probably get bored with Ellsdown if they wouldn't quit complaining about it. But it's just, it hits them every time. We're not going to stop.
And it's gotten to the point where any team that beats them, they all go to that.
Yeah.
Lenore Ryan dancing in Louisville's locker room, throwing up Ellsdown. Anytime Louisville loses a game, they have to see that. And the first thing their fans think of is, God damn Kentucky, your nails down. I hate your nails down. And it's just, it's this mental edge they have in the rivalry series. And basketball does it too, man. You got to tip your hat to them. Kaysen Wallace will probably be doing nails down up there in Rupp Arena when Kentucky's up 28-2 at the first TV timeout.
The L's down has gotten bigger than the L's up. We do it more than they do their own hand gesture. It's become a Kentucky thing.
Let's power rank our favorite people to throw L's down, shall we? Do we have any personal favorites?
Vito.
Over the years?
Vito, yeah. I really thought they missed the chance to let Vito lead them onto the field Saturday. And as someone on Twitter suggested, they should have just given Vito the UK football Twitter account for the game and let him entertain the fans.
The duo of Vito and Berrien next Thanksgiving weekend at Cardinal Stadium doing L's down is going to be an all-time high.
Especially when Vito debuts his new L's down neck tattoo that will for Thanksgiving.
There is one person who I thought Boom Williams, his facial expression,
that
first one, that was a very good one. And there was also, we had a, this was might have even predated L's down though. There was a celebrity, a Governor's Cup celebrity at the game on Saturday, Josh Forrest, who all time, like, got to be the greatest touchdown celebration ever when he.
Hey, I remember that.
He ran the pick six into the end zone and then just threw the ball out of the stadium. Like, I bet he dislocated his shoulder. He threw that ball so hard. He was in the house with some other UK alums this weekend. So, wanted to give him a shout out. Freddie, did you ever throw L's down when you were on the sideline?
No, we didn't. We didn't play Louisville, and I don't think the L had been invented in the late 80s yet by our friends to the west.
Well, you were at least there for 2018. Did you throw your L's down when Luke Fortner got thrown out of the game?
No, I was too busy laughing. Nobody. I was joking with Stenberg on the sideline. Like, of all 85 players, nobody would have picked Luke Fortner to get kicked out of a football game. And he got kicked out. And the look on Stoops' face when he came to the sideline was priceless. It was almost like Mark was as surprised as we were and couldn't believe it was Luke. But then he had to say something, and Luke's face, bless his heart, he felt so bad. But, you know, we were calling him Rocky and, you know, just messing with him on the sideline. It was funny. Actually, Stenberg bummed a dip, and then he had to go in on a PAT, and he got a bunch of pellets in his eyes, and he was all mad. So I had – Luke and Logan were both not in good headspace in 2018.
Shout out Fortner's Jags, big win yesterday. We talk about rivalry moments. Vince tweeting on the sideline last year, 2021, was up there.
Levis is L's down last year.
Levis is up there.
That was powerful.
Countless touchdowns.
That was a powerful L's down. So I think – And then Benny was also very good at the L's down thing.
The Zion Childress one was good.
That was a great celebration.
Levis kind of worked in the the LeBron where he pushes down. Yeah. Levis kind of did that with his L's. He added a little twist. I hadn't seen that before.
I appreciate how much they let defensive players get away with celebrations, because it feels like if you score a touchdown, you're kind of walking on tiptoes. I think, like, if as long as they don't rip their helmets off, like, a defensive player can just do whatever they want after a sack, whether it's a sack or, like, an interception. Now, on an interception, they just run down the field. And in the NFL the other day, did you all see the interception where they had a 12th man run onto the field? It was I think it was the Seahawks Raiders game, and somebody picked off a pass, and a dude just ran from the sideline into the game. He thought he was down. He was trying to get in on the celebration, and just nobody caught it. It just had 12 guys running down the field for a little bit.
There's no rules.
Oh, man.
Which rivalry game did you all, outside of the Governor's Cup, did you enjoy most this year?
Oh, always Egg Bowl. It was all it was the because the thing was too is it was rainy, it was sloppy, it was kind of it wasn't the most like typical Egg Bowl electric factory. But the fourth quarter, I mean, you got the fumble review, and then they go and Leach has a fumble, just trying to. With the quarterback trying to not sneak it in, but running the read option. I mean, he ran a read option with Will Rogers. Like, oh, he fumbled it? Like, big surprise. And then to march 99 yards down the field and have Lane Kiffin burn two timeouts. Like, how do you not have a two-point play? He's like the one coach in America I would trust to have a two-point play ready. And he has to call two timeouts. They don't get it. Game over. Just Egg Bowl.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy just the whole Friday. Games on start to finish on Friday were really good, I thought. I'm trying to think who the early game was, but like Arkansas-Missouri had a crazy finish. Florida-Florida State was highly entertaining. North Carolina-North Carolina State, overtime. Mm-hmm. The Friday games, I enjoyed a lot.
Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska-Iowa was another game in there. Yeah,
doing my family a solid, keeping Iowa down. Building up a 24-0 lead and hanging on for dear life. And now the Boilermakers playing the Big Ten Championship. So that was big for the Brom squad. So it was I'm sure Louisville fans were not angry to see that final score whenever they got back on the road down I-64.
I don't root for Michigan, but I enjoyed them getting one on Ohio State just because I like when Ohio State loses. I guess I'm a Michigan fan in that one game. But it was nice to see the Buckeyes go down.
Turns out Harbaugh made the right decision with J.J. McCarthy.
And me and Nick were talking about this on Saturday. Last year, after Ohio State beat Michigan, Harbaugh kind of insinuated that Ryan Day was born on third base, which is very rich coming from Jim Harbaugh, which is very like a smug Michigan man thing to say, that someone else was born on third base. But yeah. The Michigan fans,
son of a Hall of Fame head coach,
yeah, are giving it to who had to steal his brother's staff like to get his thing turned around. Like he got like three guys from the Ravens. Like John's like, here, Jim, here's these good coaches. He'll help you out here. But yeah, the other guy's born on third base. But that's been Michigan fans have been kind of throwing that in Ohio State's fans' faces, but it's just funny because like it's like the opposite. The other one was more on third base.
Oh, and then after the game, Ohio State fans are chanting, "We want Urban."
I missed that. Were they really?
Yeah, that was on like the post game when they had the big noon crew on the kickoff. And I also loved. I forgot somebody. You know, we have all these people that do like their big Sunday columns or Monday columns, like 10 things I learned sort of deal. Bill Connolly's, I think, was the first bullet point was Jim Harbaugh turned Ryan Day into Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, because Ryan Day, he's 1-2 now in that game, and that's, you know, that's everything for that rivalry.
They're only he has three Big Ten two Big Ten losses, and they're both to Michigan.
That's crazy, absolutely nuts. Speaking of, while we're talking about coaches elsewhere, Luke Fickell. Going to the Big Ten, going to Wisconsin. And Luckett, I think it could be a short-term gain, but we hopefully it's not a long-term net loss because there could be some positive consequences as long as they don't get somebody else in there that could.
Yeah. If you're alluding to Brian Hartline, there was the two top candidates today came out was Tom Herbin and Matt Campbell. I think from Kentucky's standpoint, you get Matt Campbell in there, I don't think – then Kentucky would feel good about those head-to-head recruiting battles.
Right.
And so that could be kind of best-case scenario there. I think it was a weird move for Fickell, I think. You thought he was holding out for something bigger, but I think he just didn't want any part of that Big 12. I think maybe he was worried Cincinnati might be in the same situation West Virginia is in right now where it's just a weird fit where you're playing the Texas Conference and you're in Ohio. and you have to play like kind of that style of football where you're recruiting a different type of athlete and a different type of player. So an interesting move there by Fickell. But yeah, I mean, early returns on the Cincinnati coaching search, Nick, I think are pretty promising for Kentucky. We'll see how it shakes out. Mm-hmm. But if Tom Herman or Matt Campbell are there at Cincinnati, I don't think you would. We'll see whatever the staff will be, but you wouldn't really fear them, I don't think, recruiting in Ohio, which would be good for Kentucky. Whereas if they got a coach there with, you know, really good Ohio ties, they would kind of be a pain in the rear to deal with when you're talking about going head to head with them on the recruiting trail.
And there's a couple players too that Kentucky that recruited that Cincinnati won out. They got that post college football playoff bump that Kentucky could get in on now, kind of steal at the 11th hour. If you want to check out some of those names, hit up KentuckySportsRadio.com. Trevor Carter is one of them in Ironton, Ohio. That they've been stupid. Vince has tried to get in Ironton, Ohio for a while. So, you know, something to keep an eye on with a little less than a month until the early signing period begins. Recruiting starts next week. Mark Stoops will be on the road. He's getting shoulder surgery tomorrow, but he said he's a tough guy. You know, he'll be fine. He'll be able to get back on the road recruiting in no time. But he's already gotten to work making changes this offseason. The first domino to fall, John Settle out, running backs and co-special teams coach. I don't know how long that tag lasted on there, but Settle came from Wisconsin to Kentucky, that running back factory, and he's been great with Chris Rodriguez, but that's not much else to really say about that. He made Michael Drennan his kind of special project, and that just didn't work out. Drennan didn't play at all this year, and probably going to hit the portal, I would imagine, and use this as a redshirt year. When Rodriguez was out for those four games, Kentucky's running game was really just non-existent. And then the biggest part of this is the recruiting part of it, because your running backs coach needs to be able to get some dudes, and he just hasn't. And not only has he not gotten anybody, other running backs, other coaches, recruits that they brought in at running back have decommitted. Khalifa Keith's going to Tennessee now. So Chad Scott was huge for Mark Stoops' early success on the recruiting front, getting Jeff Badette, JoJo Kemp, guys like that in there. And so you need for this position, like it, you need this coach, this next guy, to be a good recruiter.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a theme. A lot of maybe potential coaching changes is upgrading recruiting. And so that's what they're going to be looking for. I think bottom line, Settle, there 2 years he wasn't the lead recruiter. Now, that's not everything, but, you know, he just wasn't landing some players. So that's a disappointment. And then you looked at, like Nick alluded to, like I'm worried about Kentucky's running back room next year. Losing Chris. I mean, like, Kentucky's had a real special run where they've had one of Benny or Chris as kind of a bell cow running back here for like 7 years. And then even at times they had complimentary pieces such as, you know, Boom Williams, AJ Rose. That's not, you don't really have that anymore. So it's a worry going in next year. I think that's a position they really need to look at the portal potentially. And so maybe landing a back coach that can maybe go out and get you a good portal running back would be nice. And so we'll see. What's hard to kind of handicap this is there's just, you don't know, like the special teams coach factor. How does that work out? Like, who's the special teams coach, this or that? And I think that's something they're going to have to all figure out. So it's going to be something for all of us to monitor moving forward.
Did Nick go silent again?
Nick's on mute.
Oh. Gosh, why do I keep muting myself? Sorry, fellas. And now I got distracted. Damn it. What are we doing? Get it together, Roush.
You got this. Season's just
getting rolling. Yeah, we got this.
I think, Nick, you just said who was going to be the next quarterback at Kentucky, but we were all muted, so you can go ahead and tell us now.
You know what? That's crazy. The coordinator, too. I'm just going to tell you to go to Prize Picks because it's great. And if you use the promo code KSR, they'll double your deposit up to $100. So go to Prize Picks, play throughout this bowl season. It's 2 weeks away from getting started, but we've got a lot of, you know, sports going on. World Cup, conference championship games this weekend. go ahead, get in on the action, play Prize Picks today, download the app, visit them online, and use promo code KSR. They'll double your initial deposit up to $100 when you use promo code KSR today. Speaking of conference championship games, this weekend, Troy is going to host one. That's right. For the first time ever, they're hosting the Sun Belt Conference Championship game with John Summerall. It'll be 366 days since they announced him as head coach that they're going to be hosting this conference championship game. So real fired up to watch that next weekend. Really excited for Summerall. Freddie, he's one of those dudes that, like, I think we all knew he was a good coach, but it's amazing how quickly he's turned that thing on down there.
Yeah, he's a very good football coach. Good man, too. I got to know him very well. Excellent recruiter. I mean, disciplinary. And always, you know, from what I picked up on him, he always wanted to learn. And I think that humility is a special factor in the really good coaches, right? I mean, because coaches, this is going to surprise some of y'all, have a tendency to be a little arrogant at times, right?
What?
So,
what?
Yeah, yeah. But the great ones that I've been around have a sense of humility or just humble, and he had that. And I knew he was going to be successful. Troy's a great spot for him there. A lot of Kentucky ties. He was there before. So I hope he wins the championship. I'm all for him. And he's done a tremendous job there at Troy. And I've been to Troy a bunch of times. And if you can do it at Troy, you can do it anywhere. Trust me.
Also, Hail Mary from a real special season.
Yeah, that's their only Sun Belt loss. They also lost to Ole Miss. That game was pretty close, too. Nice. Ooh, Kevin the Bacon asked a great question for the panel. What's the better football family, the Stoopses or the Harbaughs? Stoopses don't have a Super Bowl.
Also, the Stoopses don't have Tom Crean.
So Harbaughs don't have a national championship.
Well, Jack had two at Western, technically.
Yeah, if you want to count that. Yeah, those,
but
yeah,
Drew's right. Think about that. The Harbaughs cut down so many nets. I mean,
yeah,
they
lose because they got Crean in the family. About the fall.
That's what I said. Yeah. They're a basketball family.
I'm voting all Stoops there. I'm going with Mark and the rest of the Stoops family. And I think the reason it separates for me, and I know that – John and Jim's dad was special, won championships, and a tremendous man. But the story of Mark telling about his dad watching film on the side of the refrigerator after painting houses all day, for me, that spoke to me. I mean, that's how I would. Mark and I are about the same age. We grew up in, you know, Youngstown and Tri-Cities, you know, Steel Town, Coal Town, that on the way, you know, lost the boon, the economic boon. I mean, it was – he and I have a lot alike, a lot of similarities, so I'm going to go with the Stoops is there.
I like that question, though. Really like that question. Great way. I know there's going to be a lot of speculation, a lot of stuff happening over the next couple of weeks that we'll be getting to, that we'll be discussing, reacting to. Without just making this a bunch of big old speculation, Drew, do you have one off-season hot take that you would like to – a hot take or prediction that you would like to share with the family on your way on our way out?
Kind of caught me on the spot there. A hot take or a prediction. I'm just – it's not really a take, but I'm really excited for the coming days because I feel like the staff shakeups are going to get pretty electric. And I'm just excited to see what's ahead. I don't have any predictions for what will happen there. But I don't know. I still don't have good vibes at the we'll see Red Zone Rich again. And I'm just interested to see where we go with all that.
My prediction is that if we don't see the play caller change soon, starting either Wednesday or Thursday, I'm just firing out numbers and I'm going blazing because I looked at them today and they're disgusting. I had to get up and walk away from my computer. It's a crime against humanity what that offense did this year. It's how it can go from that good to that bad just like that. It's a disgrace, and I'm.
Oh, okay. You just walked me into my prediction. I'm going to combine our takes for my prediction.
Okay.
Kentucky's offense in the bowl game will be coached by an assistant, and they will have their most points all year.
Ooh, that's a fun
There's my prediction. Highest scoring game of the year will be the bowl game with a interim play caller and Kaya Sharon airing out the football.
Ooh, love that prediction.
There you go.
See, that's a spicy way to end the show. The sound of my son crying is my cue that it's time for me to go. But we're going to have a lot
L's
more.
Down.
Yeah, L's all the way down. We're going to have a lot more content coming throughout this week. The off season, we're only cranking things up here at KSR. Don't go anywhere. We'll be having more right here on the KSR YouTube channel before you know it.